Yes, Mayor.
Well, Mr. President.
How are you?
From the Daily Home to the President, Mr. Jackson, and your family, a merry, merry Christmas tonight. Happy and healthy New Year.
Thank you, Mayor.
You're a great president, a great man. You're doing a wonderful thing for our country. We're still saying a prayer for you. Christmas Mass tonight.
Thank you, Mayor. I need it. I need it.
Well, we all do. By God, you're doing a wonderful job. We're all praying for you.
I wanted to call you. I was thinking about you yesterday, and I thought it would maybe Christmas Day. I wanted to visit with you. I wanted to ask your judgment on two or three things, get you to think about it. We're in a very difficult way with the budget. I don't know what to do. If we assume that we get to war over this year, which nobody knows, we could go in on one set of circumstances. If we don't, we'd have to go into another one, but most of my economists tell me if we keep the budget down under 112 that we get by without a tax increase. Well, on the other hand, there's a good many of them think that I'm going to have so much bigger deficit than anybody's ever had. We'll take in $98 billion or something this year, and if I don't ask for tax increase, it'd be pretty inflationary. What do you think about a tax increase election year?
I think if you can avoid it, I would. I think a tax increase will always, you know, the opposition will jump on it and make all kinds of noise and sound.
How much you think I got to shave these domestic programs?
Well, I wouldn't shave them too much, but I wouldn't increase them. And I think if you can keep your economy going the way you are, and if you can keep, if we can only put more people onto the employment rolls, which you're trying with your poverty program, in my opinion, that's the great number one, more jobs, then you increase your income, you increase your taxes, you also increase the income of the people and take them off the relief and welfare rolls. And in my opinion, this is what we should strive to do. If we could get our employment, which you've been doing so successfully, down and down percentage-wise, the more we get it down, the better it is for the entire fiscal operations of the country.
Mayor, I've got it down to 4.3, and they estimate that this time next year I'll have it around 3.3, maybe 3.
You get it down there, look what it means, the earning power, then the taxing for the government and every of those people that will go to work in that 1 or 1.5%, and if we can get it down to that figure, I think you'll be in very good shape, and I think the whole country will be in shape, because what we're doing here is putting the emphasis on jobs. We don't, the other things are fine, education, training, but the health, the main emphasis is get people jobs, get them working.
I got your poverty group from Syracuse down here giving me hell.
Oh, yeah.
Because the mayor turned them down, and they came over and invaded my house yesterday and got arrested.
My God.
We got FBI says one of them is a strong communist sympathizer.
Well, they're trying to pressure you, Mr. President, and you don't even pressure you. They're trying to snatch your control of this country, control of everything just under this program. And the fact is, and the truth of the matter is, they've never had such a fine program in the history of our country. And what I keep saying is, Lord God, let's get together. Let's cooperate. We're fine to be fighting. What difference does it make? Who gets credit as long as we get jobs and get the people out of slums and blight and get education? But many of these people throughout the country are not concerned with the solution. They're concerned with the agitation of the problem. And this is all over the country, and they've seen an opportunity to snatch a popular issue, but one that you and I know doesn't bear the right of logic, and that is only the poor can control these programs. Well, that's ridiculous.
That's a good...
It'd be the same thing as saying in your operation that only the soldier could control the army, that you are not entitled to generals, to scientists, to the great experts, to the fine educated and dedicated...
What shape would we be in now if Shriver got out of the program with a blast?
How do you mean a blast?
Well, he's unhappy because we're not giving him everything he wants. And And he's got to give up one or the other of his programs, poverty or peace.
Yes.
And I guess Bernie Booten wouldn't be very imaginative, but he's a good administrator, and he'd be able, if Shriver got out of poverty and went to the Peace Corps, I think that we'd have a lot of agitation from the Adam Clayton pals and Roy Wilkins and the damn professionals.
How long will the agitation be?
I don't know.
A day, for 1 week, for 1 month? Our concern, and I know yours is, I'm more concerned about the answer to the solution of the problem than I am whether this fella's up on the platform or that fella, because if we can show in another, we've done a fairly good job out here, Mr. President. Shriver says that himself, but he won't say it publicly, that we have the best poverty program in the country, and this is a poverty program aimed number one at jobs, number two at education, number three at training, and number four at health, and that's the emphasis we're putting. No fanfare on all these other things is fine, but I wouldn't think that if we have the, first we have to have some guidelines, as you know. There's been no guidelines set out. There's been no direction, so that everyone has been floundering around. But I don't think there'd be. The people still have great confidence in you. I know the people out here in the Middle West and in Chicago still feel very strongly that Johnson is a great president, a good president. He's a dedicated man. He's a devoted man. I don't know, maybe some of those guys in Washington don't think the same way, but we do. And anything you would do along this line wouldn't make any difference. The hell, you're always going to have the pals in your hair anyhow. You're always going to have these other people. But if we're doing the job, if we're getting jobs and you're reducing that unemployment figure, if we're getting education, and we are, if we're getting Head Start, if we're getting a health program, we're going to start. We made application for a health program, which is probably the first of its kind to give health advice and health assistance to 650,000 people in poverty. We know that ahead, because we send people in to follow them up today and ask the reaction of the president.
Well, now here's the problem I got with him, though. I gave him $700 million the first year. He came in the second year, and I told him he could go to $1 billion. And he started a damn revolution, and we just had hell, and we fought around, and finally compromised it out. He wanted to. $2 billion, and we got it. I agreed to $1.5 billion. Now we gave him $1.5 billion this year. He went up on the hill. The Congress authorized. We don't ever have to appropriate what they authorize. We usually appropriate less than authorized. But they authorized $1.780 billion. This year I gave him $1.5 billion. Now next year he comes in with his budget hearing the other day, and I told them all I want them to stay about what they had this year. Because I had to go up 10-12 billion on Vietnam, and that increase had to go to Vietnam because I lost 10 planes last week, 3 million a plane, and I just can't be short out there.
Right.
And even with that, I'm going to have a budget of $112-15 billion from 99, and that's going to look like hell if I don't increase anything. Well, they say that they're going to increase and so forth. Now he's going to resign from both jobs, and let me pick the one he resigns from.
I don't think that. What the hell is he doing that for? He's got to sit down with you. It's got to be worked out, I would think. I don't think he should put that on you. I think that after all of you on the team.
Well, he says he's ready to.
He says he'll. After a meeting with the president, as you usually do, then he comes out and announces that he asked the president to be assigned to the Peace Corps. Did he realize or whatever it was that he this two operations he tried to do it during emergency, but now that he's doing a great job, blah blah blah, that he has asked you for one of the assignments? I don't think it would be fair to you to do it this way.
That's not, but Bobby and that group are not very fair to us, Mayor.
Well,
I see Bobby and Teddy both gave out interviews. Teddy did yesterday that we got to consult more with the Congress on Vietnam. Well, goddamn, I've had every member of Congress in 3 times this year.
Well, you see,
now, his brother was president 3 years.
These fellas don't know how to play on a team, you know, Mr. President. They never had any teamwork. It's all right to, you know, be standing off aloof by yourself. But we know that this is a team operation, and at no time do we need more teamwork and cooperation, and now standing behind our president, they might go over and talk to you individually, but this stuff is a decision statement. I just think they're killing themselves. I don't think they're bothering you. But this other fella, any time that you would want me to talk to along any line after the holidays, I'll be glad to, because I don't think it's fair to use the president to do this.
What do you think our budget ought to be next year on the poverty? Would you increase it over this year?
I think I'd hold it.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, or increase it very little. It'd show some increase so that they couldn't say, because I really think we can do a much better operation than we have been and do it more effectively and more efficiently.
What we've done is this now. McNamara's taken 500,000 of these boys for training in the service. That's a 500,000 of them. Wirtz is taking 100,000 and training them under manpower training.
Yeah.
I put through a college program taking care of another 100,000. So
right.
It narrows it down to less than 1 million that he's got from over 2 million we started with.
Right.
Now then, if I'm giving him the private industry is taking a hell of a group up. I put 400 million in war contracts in the Appalachia area, and it's employing. I've reduced it from 4.3 to 3.2, and that's taking care of 600,000-700,000.
And every local government that works is solved has got a cooperative program in which they're taking some more to mine in the way of jobs. And we love more of that in 66. But I'm sure that you can work it out, and I don't think there should be any conflict in this thing over poverty. I don't think the director, and you've been very nice to both in both positions, should take any arbitrary action. I think it should be done and resolved, sitting down and working it out and having him say what he would like, and then after the meeting come out and say he's asked the president to be relieved of one or the other. Not to just resign both of them. I think this is an unfair thing to do to any man, including the President of the United States. And regardless of what they're planning or what they're thinking, it isn't fair for him and anyone that would get to talk to him a minute and explain it to him. He's interested in his future. He's very anxious, ambitious, as you know, politically. Well, for a fellow to do a thing like this, he wouldn't get very far, in my opinion.
My own thought is what he ought to do is we ought to try to keep him as close to this year as we can. We ought to make him go up and get these appropriations through in January, February, March sometime.
That's
and,
right.
We ought to put a man in the Peace Corps that can handle it, hold on, just name him for a while, and then when Shriver wants to change over after he gets this appropriation through and gets election behind him, we put him back in the Peace Corps and have a man trained for the poverty thing.
That's the way to do it. That's a wonderful solution, Mr. President. Well, again, I would like to say very sincerely that everything is good to you, Mrs. Johnson, and to your fine family.
Mayor, you're responsible for most of it. You're one of the best men I've got, and one of the ones I love the most, and one of the ones that stayed with me when the going's tough in 60 and spring of 64, and I never forget it.
I'll be there.
Say, I've got a problem, and you got to worry about it. You've got your own problems more than this, but you know they wound up this this election, and McGuire, who's been running the thing, Kennedy, he has left now.
Yeah.
And he's leaving that committee owing over $3 billion.
Is that right?
Yeah. And
well,
we've got to do something about it next year, and I've got to have you and about five others like Arthur Krim and some of these practical, hard-headed, able fellows, and they got to figure out what to do and what I got to do at a minimum, maybe 5 or 10 places, and then we got to divide them, and we got to put every cabinet officer, every top man, the president, the vice president, and then we got to go in and give you all a share, and we got to figure out some way to get rid of this, because I don't want to lay awake at night thinking about McGuire leaving the $3 million deficit.
We can do that, Mr. President, and we'd be glad to cooperate, you know that.
Okay, give Ms. Daly my love.
Fine. Goodbye, Mr. President.
Bye.